if you like betting on golf. But everyone that you back misses the cut. Get some experts involved with all the stats and the tips and so much more. 'Cause it's the golf betting system. The golf betting system is the golf betting system podcast.
Greetings and welcome to the Golf Betting System podcast 153. This is our 2021 Arnold Palmer Invitational Tips and Picks episode. Paul Williams and Barry O'Hanrahan join me, Steve Bamford, to discuss this week's PGA Tour action. Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning, guys.
Morning, guys.
This podcast is for listeners of 18 and above. Please be gamble aware. You can visit begambleaware.org for more information. And, of course, please bet responsibly. Visit our world-famous golf betting system website with our in-depth betting previews, masses of tournament statistics and our predictor models, all available completely free of charge with no paywall. Please subscribe to this podcast and drive the popularity of the show. We are all available on social media, on Twitter. Paul is at Golf Betting. I'm at Bamford Golf and Barry is at A Good Talk Golf. You can join our Golf Betting System Facebook group. The link is available in the description box. Plus, look out for the Steve Bamford Golf YouTube channel where I present the Golf Betting Show every week. I'll be recording the Arnold Palmer Invitational Show as soon as we have finished this podcast. Please take time to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. That is the podcast currency and drives our listener numbers continually upwards. I've got to say, gentlemen, we have been asking for five-star reviews since the start of the year, and the response from the audience has been absolutely fantastic. So can I thank all of you? I will read out all of the reviews that you leave, but clearly if I read them all out, we'd have a review show, effectively. So, you know, we'll just run through them episode at a time. But just keep them coming. It's absolutely fantastic. It's really quite self-rewarding from our perspective to see these reviews hitting Apple Podcasts, just building and building. So it only helps the podcast with its popularity. Right, let me read some out for you. This one is from Never Trust an Owl. He's in Great Britain. Excellent golf statistics and analysis, 5 stars. Brilliant tournament previews each week for both the PGA Tour and European Tour. Provides great insight and statistics to enable you to follow tips given or make your own decisions. Keep up the good work, Steve, Barry and Paul. Much appreciated. That's Never Trust an Owl. He's in GB.
I like that screen name.
It's quite good, that one,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, I like that a lot.
Next one we've got from Ryan Lyon. He's in Great Britain as well. Golf betting for nerds, 5 stars. This one's quite funny. Great mix of ultra nerd analysis and sound betting advice. You might struggle to stick with them on some of the grass analysis bits, but a very sad. That's just basically taking the Michael out of me, that is. You might struggle to stick with them on some of the grass analysis bits, but a very sound addition to my betting pod library nonetheless. Ryan, thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks, Ryan. You do know your grass as well, Steve, don't you?
It's all about the poa trivialis.
It is, yeah. It's all about the overseas.
Last one, great podcast, 5 stars. As a new golf better, this content is brilliant. It is helping me learn more each week. The level of knowledge is unrivaled and worth a listen to for any new or experienced golf punter. That is from Ben Rhodes again in the UK. Ben, thank you very much. Thanks to Ryan and also thanks to Never Trust an Owl.
Brilliant stuff. Yes, thanks, guys. Very much appreciated as ever.
I think the podcast, we've always said we try and make it educational, don't we? You know, we try and impart the knowledge that we've built up over the years of many, many hundreds of losing bets.
try to explain the logic or illogic of how we've managed to get to the conclusions that we've come to.
It's all about the bent grass Poana mix, or is it pure Poana? And that, you know, it takes me hours of fun going through spreadsheets to try. Anyway, as we all know, I'm very anally retentive when it comes to my agronomy. Right, talking anally retentive, let's talk about last week, shall we? Two interesting tournaments. Let's firstly start with Puerto Rico. Great win for Brandon Grace. That was only his second ever PGA Tour victory, believe it or not.
Yes, second one by the coast as well, though, isn't it? And he's, you know, if you go back through his history on the European Tour, it's a lot of coastal and or linksy type efforts that that stick out. So, yeah, it was all down to the price last week, wasn't it? You know, we looked at him, I looked at him, you looked at him in depth, I know, and it's whether you could stomach the very early 20s or 18 to 1 in that field, but yeah, you can't begrudge him that win. It was. No. Much deserved, I guess.
That was his 14th professional victory.
Yeah.
9 European Tour, now 2 PGA Tour and 6 Sunshine Tour. Did it in some style, chipping in from eagle on the 17th.
Yep.
And then holding his nerve against the steely, this bit's where I get sarcastic, steely Johnny Vegas. To be fair to Johnny, he actually held his SHIT together, yeah, didn't he? I was expecting Johnny to go backwards as soon as he sniffed the lead, and he kept it going, which is one for the notes, I think. Vegas seems to be finding a bit of mental fortitude.
Having both kind of just laughed and dismissed it last week when you mentioned Johnny Vegas, it was quite amusing to see him right in the mix.
Go well.
Yeah, it's... You know, that's, if there's a way to kind of reverse curse someone, Steve, it's probably to for you and I to laugh off his chances in a podcast. It's, I thought he was going to win, to be honest. You know, if you're going to finish eagle birdie, then it gets the job done, doesn't it? I can't remember the last time one of my back players finished like that to win a golf tournament. It would be a nice feeling, wouldn't it?
If that was you, if you were on Brandon Grace, he'd have gone double bogey bogey.
Yeah, I've been on him a few times.
And missed out on the each way places altogether.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. I've been on him a few times where his 17th hole, or his 71st hole, has been the undoing of him. So clearly reversed that. But no, you know, an emotional win for him. You know, I backed him a few weeks ago on the back of his personal losing his dad and. No, it's come back and he's got that win. So, yeah, no, pleased for him, really.
Want to completely wipe the Puerto Rico 2021 Open from my mind. I had 3 players at the top end, as you know. Brandon Grace, Andrew Putnam, and I can't swear, but I went for Tom Lewis. I don't even want to revisit. So... Yes, good for Brandon. Now, I think that gets him into this week's field. I don't know if he's going to... I think he's still in the list. Gets him into Bay Hill. Did I also read that for the first time ever, the Puerto Rico Open winner got an invite to the Masters? I don't know if I'm making that up in my own mind.
Yeah, I've not read that myself, but clearly the rules and... qualification criteria are a little bit more flexible recently, aren't they?
Somebody ping Steve on Twitter with that if they know it. Actually,
no. I've gone to the Oracle boys. I've gone to Rob Bolton. Follow at Rob Bolton on Twitter. Rob Bolton is the Oracle of all things. He's basically added him to the PGA Championship for that list for that win. So no, it wasn't worthy of a Masters place. And I must say, if that was the case, that would have been a brand new. I've never seen that before, and it didn't happen. So Grace has been added to the PGA Championship with that win. Also, of course, he gets a 2-year exemption on the PGA Tour. Right. That's why I can never work out, Paul, why so many professional players stick their nose up to an alternate event and say, well, actually, I'm happy finishing 32nd next time I play, rather than going for a win and getting a 2-year exemption on the PGA Tour.
Yeah, yeah. You can see why a few of the European Tour players make it a definite play in their schedule.
Trip, yeah. You know, that means that if you're qualified for the WGC, though, there's a rule that you have to play that event.
You do, yeah. No,
so right. Anybody who's in that just automatically wipes out whatever 70-something guys from that who could go choose Puerto Rico. Like, it's a great opportunity. Grab that 2 years. Oh, my God. Like, that's job security for 2 years.
It's millions of dollars, mate.
Yeah.
Right there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it was disappointing a few of them. As you say, Lewis, Matt Wallace was another one I thought might go well last week. He missed the cut as well, didn't he?
He's kind of gone off the boil a bit. I wonder if Lewis and Wallace are kind of better players, not flat track bullies, but they're not flat field bullies. I think they do better in stronger events for some reason. It feels like it kind of gets them going a bit more.
Well, Tom Lewis, he started okay. He shot 2 under. He basically, on round one, parred everything. And he went there. I think the last 4 holes, he went birdie, bogey, birdie, birdie. And I thought, well, that's not too bad. That's a reasonable start. And then the wind got up on Friday even more. And I went out for a run Friday lunchtime thinking, well, actually, Tom Lewis came 11th in the Open a few years ago at Portrush. And that was as windy as sin. And he started 75 and then came through the field, got 11. He'll be fine, the wind, not a problem. I can see him really moving forward. And then I look later on, he was 6 over. You just think, wow, 4 over, whatever it was. Golf betting, it's just strange. And players have their different funks, don't they? And that for Lewis was a huge opportunity again, because he's way outside the 125. Could have used that as a platform, but clearly it didn't happen for him. Now, WGC at the concession, great. Oh, should I also say, what about Ted Potter Jr.? Did he get you a squeak of each way money, Paul?
No, I backed him top 6. Sorry. He finished 7th.
Will you please take more places when you're backing these guys, lads? Come on. I know.
Like, sorry, I'm choking you.
I'm the biggest chaser of the dream score, like the max value. Oh, I'll never cash out of bet, and I won't even lay off things. Like, but, you know, when it comes to these guys that are at the long odds, you know, I take the chop from 125 to 1 to 100 to 1 to get the extra couple of places.
Yeah. Well, he was. I took 80 to 1, 6 places.
And, versus
66s with 7 places.
Just add an extra euro or two to your stake and then just level it out that way.
Barry, I'm a greedy bugger.
I know it messes with your mathematics and your staking plan, but like, it also stops you being punching yourself in the, you know, after he finishes seventh.
I look at the number 80, I look at the number 66, and I can't take the 66 sometimes. I've got to take the 80.
I know, but like,
just greedy.
Add a euro to it, add a quarter point to your bet or whatever it is to just flatten it out. Yeah. And that's what I've started doing now. To just, I know it sucks if it loses because you're giving the bookies a tiny bit extra, but I've got that extra buffer zone of the other places. So, and if he wins, look, you've caught a winner at 66 to 1. Forget the market value or whatever was there. It's all about my way to put the blinkers on from from protecting myself from these max value chases.
He missed out, but you got to say he actually finished birdie. I was desperately trying to find the fact that he bogeyed the last
twist
the knife in. But he actually went birdie
to miss by one. Yeah,
mate. Barry's right. Listen to Uncle Barry.
You know what? I hope a few of the listeners got him 8 places. Just if you troll Paul and like tag me on Twitter. I'll happily jump on board.
Send me some screenshots. Just
if you manage to get an each way return on Ted Potter Jr., please screenshot at Golf Betting with your selections, please. Just to wind Paul up even more. Anyway, it was a good selection. We did say he's been playing better, TBJ. He came 1 shot shy for him. The WGC at the concession.
That was good. I enjoyed the course.
I enjoyed it, yeah.
What did you think of the course?
For tournament golf, great golf course. It worked so well. Opportunities to score really well, like birdies and eagles. But if you got it wrong, it really punished you. And it brought in like a bit of excitement and high variance. I think, like, for any of us going to play that on a regular basis, it would break your heart. And especially that they're talking about, like, they're saying they have a club championship this week coming up. They're going to make the greens even faster. I mean, like, okay, whatever. Like, that's just torture. Wow. That's just torture, you know. You maybe do that once a year, but in terms of a tournament there, I thought it was brilliant. It separated the field as well. So whoever was playing really well that week was able to push away and separate from the rest of the dross, or whoever wasn't playing really well that week. Like, that's all you really want, because it makes picking winners, or not winners, but makes picking golfers for the week a bit easier, because the stats that we rely on to make those picks, if they hold true, those guys get even further away from the middle of the road guy who's just somehow hanging on and making a few scores. It was great. I would happily watch another tournament at concession if they go back there. and there was rumours that they might next year. So
there were murmurs of it not going back to Mexico, wasn't it? Being a concession again next year. So.
Yeah, Paul McGinley being not so succinct on the commentary. But like that's a great.
Well, I'm hearing rumours it's coming back to Florida again next year. Thank you, Paul. Thanks, Paul.
I'm all over it. Yeah, happy to see that again as a tournament course. And let's talk about Morikawa.
How often, gentlemen, do you hear this on the PGA Tour? These are the driving distance ranks of the top four. 60th, 61st, 50th and 48th. And guess what? Brooks Koepka was 50th for driving distance in that tournament.
Three woods.
All about position, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Straight position off the tee. I mean, it wasn't as if the fairways weren't huge because they were absolutely massive. Get this, Cam Smith was 67th for driving accuracy and he still hit 60% of fairways. But when you missed, and you missed badly, you were hit. You know, you were hitting the water, weren't you? As simple as that.
Yeah, it was a good all-round test, wasn't it? And some of those runoffs as well were evil, weren't
vicious.
They?
You know, it was the greens, wasn't it?
Yeah. So, you know, people were racking up some really big scores. But no, I overall enjoyed. I mean, other than the result, from a betting perspective, like Cam Smith, who was too clear at one point, and then got his nosebleed. Shot 77, didn't he, in the end on Saturday?
Finished well, but
you had Smith and Hovland as well, Barry, didn't you? So both of those guys made
big
numbers.
I followed you on Smith. Hovland had the quad. I had a great week on that tournament. I had Hovland, Koepka, and Usti, and I followed you on Smith. So I got three places, and if I hadn't followed you, I would have got a perfect 3-for-3. No, but like, it was...
There's more learning.
Yeah, don't follow Paul. No, but I mean, it was a great punt. He just had two bad holes on Saturday, and it just kind of puts you in a bit of a tailspin. Like, what can you do about that? That's the kind of course that if you're not on it all the time, it's going to get you. And so, look, it was a great week. Getting three places out of four bets is like... This is dream stuff, almost. Just slightly frustrating that, like, Morikawa was incredible. He never looked like making a mistake on Sunday. It was Saturday. It was brilliant to watch, and I would have enjoyed it a lot more if he wasn't beating my guys. But wow, he's good.
No, I backed him the week before. No Morikawa, so it was inevitable he was going to go and win that. But he was really good. He was really, really strong. Patrick Reed was the other one I had, I was hoping would at least salvage an each way place. But I don't know.
He was noteworthy, Reed, though, wasn't he?
Yeah. No.
75% driving accuracy, 75% greens in regulation for Patrick Reed.
Yes.
And the Masters is out. The Masters is how many weeks away?
There was a lot. He made a couple of bogeys. He bogeyed the short par for 12th, wasn't it? And then bogeyed the par 5 the next hole as well, which took him out of the equation effectively. He missed 3 or 4 kind of 6 or 7 footers in that final round as well. And you add it all up and he was, 7 shots off the lead in the end. And, you know, on another day, he makes those putts. He doesn't make the bogeys. He birdies the 2 birdie holes instead of bogeys them. He's right in the mix. But even so, had he played those holes well, I'm not sure he'd have still caught Morikawa. It was just impressive.
I think that's another feather in the cap for the golf course, though. So those guys were all chasing Morikawa at that stage, and kind of you got the sense that they were under the impression he wasn't going to do anything wrong or make any mistakes. So they knew they had to put the accelerator down and take risks. And you see what happens when, you know, they didn't execute those shots. They turned into bogeys instead of, you know, when they're chasing birdies. And that's kind of good, you know, to see. It's not, you're not just getting away with it. So, look, that's ominous from Reed. I mean, that he must have been, in the top few of greens and reg for the week at 75% there, Steve.
Yeah, this is the point. I think
Billy was like 81 or something during Sunday.
He was ninth. He was ninth for greens in reg. He was also sixth for strokes gained on approach. Unlike Reed, it was his short game that actually let him down. It was actually his scrambling. He was only 50% for scrambling on the 18 holes. He actually he didn't get up on 9 of the 18 he missed.
Which, given
he's not like him. But actually, I know it hurts you because it stings you financially on your bets. But if you look at in sort of long term, he's really rounding it in shape for the Masters. And yes, I know I'm not even going to talk about this narrative about Patrick Reed. I'm talking about him as a betting proposition. Barry and I last night were talking about our favourite stat for the Masters, the par 4 birdie or better. Something in the top 12 on that stat is absolutely year in, year out the winner of the Masters, and he is in the top 12 for not only last season but this season as well. So yeah, Reed's warming up quite nicely, and we noticed last night, didn't we, Barry, that Brooks Koepka's creeping up that statistic as well, rather quickly.
So are you, Steve? I mean, sorry, T4 Tony is also, or T2 Tony. I can't. What is it? I don't know anymore. Poor Tony, with all the nicknames we have for him. He's close to that top that level in the birdie of better. What is he, 20th or something like that?
Yeah.
I have to admit, I did. One of my friends was talking about Tony over the weekend. I was talking to another friend last week, and I said it wouldn't shock me at all if Tony Finau won the Masters. So I put my money where my mouth is, and I backed him for the Masters. I figured I wasn't going to get anything better than 25-1, 8 places. If I'm wrong on that, so be it. But I've got the bet on. So, Tony for the Masters.
We shall see.
He's going to drop... One of these is going to drop his way at some stage.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And there's a golf course that can destroy people when they're chasing or reward them, you know? So, you know, there's disaster waiting for people in Augusta, and it could just fall his way.
Barry admitted to me last night, Paul, that he didn't listen to last week's podcast, so he's destroyed our download numbers for last week. But I had said to him that during the show last week, I backed him at the US Open at 40-1 to win at Torrey Pines. And I was I was laughing uncontrollably as I did it, because I thought that was a good bet.
It is a good bet. 40-1 for him? Come on.
40-1. I couldn't believe the price, could I? There was still 40-1 hanging out there. And we said in the podcast last week, the thing with Riviera was he was in the perfect position. He was, I think he was third group out on Sunday. He could set that score. He could actually just play golf. Mm-hmm. The pressure was all on Burns. It was on DJ, the guys in the last group. Homer to a certain extent.
It was ideal.
And he could set that score, and ultimately he did that, didn't he? And then eventually, just when it got to the final push over the line, he just cracked again.
I mean, yeah, I like it.
He's a terrible leader as well, isn't he? If he's leading at all, it's like. But at some point, he's far too good a golfer not to win a golf tournament. Mm. It's just what price you get when he wins.
it's
not going to be 100-1, is it?
No. He's priced the same kind of level virtually every week, isn't he? Isn't that kind of 20-1 bracket, give or take a couple of points either way? You could take your chance, and you'd have reaped an awful lot of each way money if you'd have backed him just blindly for the last few months.
Quick question, just before we don't want to forget him, like Morikawa Masters. How do those two words sit together for you? Because I don't know for you guys, for me. I kind of find him a little bit easy to, not forget, but just to gloss over. You know, he didn't even come on my radar for last week, which is, you know, that's a bit of a fail when a guy just goes and wins, you know, of his quality. So, Morikawa Masters, does that ring?
If there was a genuine strokes gained ball striking statistic that the PGA Tour put out, and if there is, I've never found it, he'd be top of it, wouldn't it? Because if you're looking for a guy that drives it straight and has the best laser irons in the business, it's Colin Morikawa.
His driving
and he hits it just a little bit further than Webb Simpson. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it gives him more of a chance at the Masters. Simpson just hasn't got the oomph. Colin Morikawa's just about got enough.
Mm. His driving was so good. Like, on Sunday, I was there thinking, like, will he hit this right or left? I was like, the way he's swinging it, there was just no chance he could. He's just striping it.
I can't remember who it was, but someone described him as a pumped-up Jim Furyk from the past. And it's true, isn't it? He's just got an extra 20 yards more than Furyk. 25,
slightly
maybe 35.
Swing as well.
But, yes, But he's a modern day Jim Furyk, isn't he? He's just absolutely iron straight, and his irons are fantastic.
Yeah.
And he's just about got enough grunt to be able to compete on these big boy, tough, classical golf courses that the United States are famous for.
Yep.
So yeah, I mean, I'm looking at a price. Let's try and get some prices on him right now. Where we got Morikawa? I'm still scanning. 28-1
Yeah. And what were you picked up? What was your 33-1 when you picked him up at the PGA Stadium?
Yeah.
No, yeah. That no.
28-1 It's, by the way, 28-1 is Unibet. 25s is the.
Let's just say that's the
main price.
That's the Paul level of places that you don't want, folks. You don't want the short places. Just put the extra little bit of juice on the bet. Get the maximum places. I have to put him as a note in the phone. Yeah, for the Masters, because I'll be punching myself if he goes and does it now after saying it here. I might have to back him now.
Paul said this last year. The thing, and I think you said it when he won at Muirfield Village. Yeah, again, another par 72, long classical golf course. He's just got that steel in his eyes. He's just got it, hasn't he? He's cold. He's a converter. He's everything that Finau isn't.
Yeah, it's very impressive, and he's going to win an awful lot of golf tournaments, isn't he?
Yeah. And the thing is, we've had this production line of talent, haven't we, recently, over the years, you know, Rahm. And when these young guys hit, it's almost as if it's expected now, going back to Jordan Spieth, it's almost as if it's expected that they win all of these tournaments and it all comes easy to them. But what Morikawa is doing, with the lack of experience that he has, that's his fourth PGA Tour victory, a major, and now a WGC. I mean, it's an astronomical rise, isn't it? It's phenomenal stuff.
He looks very comfortable out there. Body language, face, all just looks relaxed. And it's like, yeah, this is just another golf tournament. And it's
he's got understated swagger.
Yeah, yeah. The confidence is there, but it's not like just like slapping you in the face, you know. He's very, very good. Annoyingly so when you're not on him and your guys are trying to chase him down.
I went on Betfair Exchange with four holes to go. You couldn't even lay a, you know, it was nothing. It was zilch. Mm. Everyone knew he'd won that.
Yeah.
I'll take you through the quick top five of the Masters right now. These are the best prices available. DJ 13-2, Rory 10s, Brooks 12, DeChambeau 14, Rahm 14, JT 14, Spieth 18, and then Xander 22s. That's the top of the market.
That's such clearly a joke of a price for Spieth. I know, but yeah. If the previous Jordan shows up, then yeah, you're looking at it going, "Oh, that was value." But Xander's a bit off the boil, isn't he?
Well, there's another one. He loves a second place finish, doesn't he?
Something's not quite there for him at the moment.
You could say the same for John Rahm.
Yeah, well, I see. I think
the Callaway equipment change.
I think the equipment change, yeah, is probably there's a little bit more going on there than we're hearing. But you know, it takes a little time. You know, he's played with TaylorMade for a long time, and it's just a little bit of fine tuning and. Everything could be looking great, or you know, the numbers could be great, but there's just the mental side, strokes gained, mental space, you know, is the one metric we all want. And he's that good though that when he finally kind of hits that comfort zone with them, it's game on. So I mean, we can see there's lots of birdies coming from. So it's just about the confidence in them, in the clubs, I guess, when at all. Types of swings and shots he hits with them, so it's building. I'd say the same for Rory, just in terms of like Rory's hitting lots of birdies, the swing's looking very, very good, the mistakes are just the thing he needs to clean up. And I always kind of go back to Shane Lowry winning the Open, like the weeks before he was making lots of birdies, just had those mistakes on the card that was stopping him to get to the top of the leaderboards. And they always say it's easier to clean up the mistakes than it is to unlock the birdies. So honestly, I really think Rory might win in the next kind of couple of weeks. It's just horrible to see the 8-10-1 was the early price, and then he's down to like 8-1 this week. I think I might have a staking plan though for Rory. He doesn't start well, okay? So I'm kind of happy to accept losing a place or two because the plan is to back him after the off. Wait for him to have his early bogey or double or, you know, be 1-2 over par for the early holes. The price drifts, bang, grab him at 20-somethings.
Well, when he's 6 or 7 shots behind Matt Every after the first round, then of course he's...
First nine holes, Paul.
Paul, this is 2021, not 2014. Like,
Paul loves living in the past. He'll also back in 5 places each way rather than taking 7.
Oh yeah, because I got 3,000 to 1.
Yeah, so he'll finish tied 6th. But yeah, it's a good plan, isn't it? What did we get? I mean, I should set up a new Twitter account, the Rory McIlroy odds tracker. I don't know. Clearly, Bay Hill, if you look at American golf courses, Bay Hill and Quail Hollow will be his most favourite, clearly. Because he's won, is it twice at Quail Hollow or 3 times, and he's won this before. He loves Florida golf courses.
I think that...
This is a particularly weak renewal as well, it has to be said.
Yeah.
The fact that this is, you know, they've gone Genesis Invitational, which everyone's playing now. They then went to a WGC, which they all have to play, pretty much, don't they? I think, was it only Paul Casey didn't last week, and Tiger, clearly. And then you've got the Players next week.
it's in a bit
of a rock and a hard place, isn't it, Bay Hill? This has always been the Honda Classic, but for some reason they've swapped the Honda Classic to after now and they put Bay Hill before. I'd say that was the same last year, actually. It was the same last year because Hatton won. I was on Hatton. And then we did everything for the Players' Championship, got all this content out there. Great week. And then, of course, COVID struck and the players said, not playing anymore. And they all went home Friday morning. I just don't know. It's just Rory, isn't it? I just can't get excited at Rory McIlroy at a single digit price.
Can I say something on Rory? Rory's a victim of how good he is. Okay, the only standard he's ever judged to is him at his peak when he's winning, okay, and playing phenomenal, or Tiger Woods. Those are the only two standards he's compared to. So anything less than that, which is a non-winning week, is attacked and like. You know, you're, oh my God, he's terrible. The guy is getting up there in these tournaments and finishing, what's his last few finishes? Okay, so he's 3rd, 16th, 13th, missed cut at Riviera. I mean, it was playing tough, whatever, okay, write it off. And then 6th last week. This is all with him on his B game, maybe B minus game. You know,
he's consistent. Incredible. Incredible consistency.
So, like, yeah.
It's so you're not going to get value odds on him. That's what you effectively said.
I don't think you will.
I thought 16-1. Well, I said last week on the podcast, 16-1 last week at the concession was the kind of price I'm really tempted on because loaded field, and we know it's coming. 16-1 to me for Rory McIlroy was a backable price, and I can see why he was put up. I can see why he was backed really heavily because that's a great price.
And if you get, I mean, look, if you can get catch 16-1 on Rory with 8 places, you're almost...
Now, you're almost if Rory printing. Finishes 10th this week and finishes with a great round where he's ranked 2nd for tee to green and 3rd for approach, and we're seeing what price would you be interested at next week at the Players on Rory? If you could get 14-1 on him, would you... to me, is another good bet at the Players on Rory McIlroy.
I like him for these next 2 weeks. And
if I'm seeing Rory at 8-1 next week, it's just not going to happen.
Do you know what? I'd almost be, at this stage, I'd almost be tempted to do a split stake situation, back a little bit of him pre-event and hold back some stake for his slow start. Because he's a demon for the slow start. When was the last time? I don't remember. Yeah. He's probably done it, but it seems like it's a perpetuating thing that he just doesn't get out of the blocks quickly.
He goes through cycles with it, doesn't he? Because there are times when he does get out of the blocks really quick and then just fades away at the back end of the tournament. It's a bit hit and miss.
That was an issue with Victor, wasn't it? Victor Hovland, I know he's very young in his career, he was always a slow starter, but just recently he's managing to get off the line quickly enough to be in that kind of tied 12th, tied 14th spot after round one. He's right in the mix.
Well, another one's Matt Fitzpatrick, who we've joked to many a time about how his slow starts on the Thursday have just basically, you know, completely scuppered his tournaments. Yet over his last few tournaments, he's been there, you know, very, very close. Or he was joint first round leader last week, the concession. So perhaps it's, you know, perhaps it's a focus thing. Perhaps it's something that him and Billy are working on and getting their head around it.
I hope so this week, although I know when I look at the leaderboard after a couple of hours, you'll be plus two. But
that's when you double down, Steve. That's when you double down.
Oh, yeah, well, Matthew Fitzpatrick. Yeah. Maybe you're right. Should we actually formally go into the Arnold Palmer Invitational? That's one thing I have noted about this golf tournament. You do need to start on the front foot here. Tyrrell Hatton last year was fifth after round one. Francesco Molinari was eighth the year before. McIlroy 13th, Leishman 20th, Jason Day 1st, Matt Every on his two wins, 17th and 7th. You've got to be on the pace around here. Because I think it's a tough kind of golf course. It's the kind of golf course where you can't play catch-up. Because as soon as you start forcing it around here, you're not making birdies and eagles, you're making bogeys. It's a proper, classical, tough golf course. Matthew Fitzpatrick starting with plus two when the lead's going to be at six under par, he ain't winning. So we need some good starters this week, players that are on the front foot on round one on Thursday. The golf course itself, it doesn't really need a lot of introduction, but yes, we do get lots of new punters in terms of golf betting. Bay Hill, this is clearly the Arnold Palmer Invitational. This is Arnold's, or they call it Arnie's Place, was his, Bay Hill Lodge and Country Club. This is where his office was. This is where he hung out. This is where a lot of the players would come and talk to him. I mean, Bryson DeChambeau and Arnold used to get on quite... I know that Bryson used to come here a lot and have chats with him and whatever. So I think for someone like DeChambeau, winning this would be, it's going to be one of these career things that he wants to do. Whether it's this week, we don't know. But they've stretched the golf course. It's now 7,454 yards. It's a par 72. Lots and lots of tough par fours, plus three of the par fives measure over 550. Tends to firm out here as well. 12 on the stimp meter. That's what the superintendent's looking for, or faster. Since 2015, these have become, I'm going to do my agronomy bit, they're pure Tiff Eagle Bermuda grass greens. I think before they had some kind of poa trivialis overseed, but they're now pure Tiff Eagle, which most of the golf courses are in Florida. It's kind of score on the par fives. Hold on for grim death on the par threes, which are a nasty bunch. And there are a couple of shorter par fours you can take advantage of. But on the longer par fours, just play for the middle of the green and walk off with a par. And as we know, a lot of golfers these days on the PGA Tour don't like to play for the middle of the greens. They'll go for a tucked pin and they'll end up in the water. Because Bay Hill is absolutely your typical Florida golf course. Nine holes feature water hazards. 7,500 square feet average Tiff Eagle Bermuda grass greens that they try and get to 12 or higher on the stimp. Last year, this was the hardest golf course on the PGA Tour. Clearly, it was kind of strange because it was gusting 30, 35 miles an hour all 4 days. And Tyrrell Hatton won. We were on board at 55-1.
Yeah, it's a cracking pick last year, Steve.
If you're looking for other Arnold Palmer designs, we've got Albany, where they play the 2015 through 2019 Hero World Challenge. That's the hits and giggle that they play in the Bahamas, where Adam Scott and Justin Rose live. You've got PGA West, the Palmer Private Course. That was one of the courses they used to play the old Bob Hope Lottery on, which then became the Career Builder. TPC Boston, of course, that's a really good one, where they played the Northern Trust. It used to be the Deutsche Bank, and now it's the Dell Technologies every second year in the playoffs. And They added the 3M Open, didn't they, a couple of years ago on the PGA Tour. They played up at Minnesota. TPC Twin Cities is also an Arnold Palmer design. And that, again, kind of follows Bay Hill because a lot of water in play on that TPC Twin Cities course. And that's what you tend to get with him. He does like to throw a lot of water features into his, or he did, into his designs. Key attributes here. One thing I always take note of here, it is extremely, extremely, extremely difficult to get close to the pin. Every single year, Bay Hill ranks in the top three, top five most difficult proximity to hole on approach. And that, to me, shouts... you've got to have a decent putting week.
Yeah. Mid-range putts.
Yeah. You're going to be faced with a lot of 20, 25 footers, and it's how many of those you can make that will sling you up the leaderboard. And take advantage of those par fives. The amount, if you can get, you know, if you can really get a lot of two putt birdies on those par fives and just hold on for grim death around the threes and the tougher fours, you're going to be in the mix towards the end. Should we look at it from a. Let's look at it from a skill set perspective. I've taken 2010 through 2020. It's a classical golf course, so that's all I'll say. Lots of dog legs. There's lots of different ways to win this, and it just comes out in the skill averages. So I basically look at the champions through those years and what their key stats were. Average it through. Driving distance, 25th. Driving accuracy, 33rd. It's all middle of the road. Greens and reg, 15th. Proximity to hole, 28th. Scrambling, 21st. Putting average, 15th. And what that tells me is not one type of player wins this.
Yeah.
You can be a bomber. Yeah. Or you can be a Kevin Kisner sort. There you go. I'll throw Kevin Kisner in there, Barry, for you.
Thanks, Steve.
You can be a Kevin Kisner sort who is short off the tee but has a great week with their approaches. And he's an absolutely red-hot putter on Bermuda grass. Just different kinds of players win. If you look at it from a strokes game perspective, I'm taking Hatton through Jason Day. So that's the last five renewals. Strokes gained off the tee, 18th. Strokes gained on approach, 17th. So compare that to last week where the Genesis Invitational, strokes gained approach, I think was averaging like 5th for the winner. Strokes going around the green, 32nd. So strokes going tee to green, 9th. Strokes going putting, 6th. And that's rare. The winners here over the last 5 years have been higher ranked for strokes going putting than they were for tee to green. And that is a rarity on the PGA Tour. Got to have a good week with the putter, boys.
Yeah.
And as we know... Actually finding any kind of statistic for strokes going putting consistency, it's just up and down, isn't it? It's just, you know, Rory could end up strokes going putting number one this week and you'd never guess. Who would have thought that Colin Morikawa, who changed his putting stroke, yeah, and was putting absolutely abysmally for the last few outings would have been 10th for strokes gained putting. And as we know, for a player with such tee to green ability, when they actually find that week and you're on board them, when they're actually putting well, it's game over, isn't it?
It was a joke how many putts he made. And I actually thought his strokes gained putting for the week would be, or on the given days in particular, Saturday and Sunday, really. I thought it would be more because he just seemed to be making every.
Oh, well, yeah. It was, well, I've got the splits. He was 5th on the Saturday. And 8th on Sunday.
Okay, that's enough. Yeah, to
yeah
to hurt.
Well,
to
yeah,
hurt
when you strike.
So clearly,
yeah,
he was better with his putting over the weekend than he was on Thursday and Friday.
Yeah. When you strike the ball as well as he does, it's
just crazy, isn't it? Mm. Game over, isn't it? Even Victor started putting a bit better. So, anything else you want to know? Oh, let's talk about winning prices, shall we? Because I always like to set the scene on those. Since 2010, the winning price has averaged at 66.0 to 1 for this. Over the past 7 renewals since the split in the tour, it averages at 84 to 1. And if you actually take it over the last 6 renewals, which would be Hatton at 55s, Molinari at 33s, McIlroy when he won here at 20 to 1, That was after a long, long, barren run of no wins. He missed the cut at Copperhead, the Valspar, came here and won at 20-1. Leishman 100-1, Day 14-1. Average those through 44-1.
Yeah.
Come on, give Paul what he needs to hear. 2015, Matt Every, defending champion.
300.
Tanked for an entire year after winning, just to juice his price up 300-1.
The stat I thought was more the price I thought was more telling on Matt Every was actually the first time he won it here. He was a juicy maiden on the PGA Tour at 66-1, and he came in that week with form of 6 at Riviera, 24th at Honda, 8th at Copperhead. I haven't gone into the detail. I expect he was going out in the last group in a one or two of those. Might have had a chance going through. 66-1 he landed that in 13 under. And I just thought to myself, looking at that, that doesn't half remind me of Sam Burns this season. So one of my tips this week is Sam Burns. I'm on the Burns train. And I grabbed Sam Burns. I'm trying to remember the price, Paul. I'm going blank here.
45-1
on Sam Burns. That's about... Let me talk you through my shortlist here, yeah, because people go, we want to know. My shortlist on this, before any prices came out, was thus. Victor Hovland, Matthew Fitzpatrick, Sam Burns, Jason Kokrag, Francesco Molinari, Kevin Na, Kevin Kisner, Wyndham Clark. And this is how I'm going to do it now. I'm fed up of persuading myself out of winners each week. I'm basically coming up with a list of players on one of my famous post-it notes. And I go through them. And I come up with a selection. So there's likely to be the winner in there. But it probably won't be any of the ones that I've actually backed. Kevin Kisner.
Victor Hovland.
Get on him. Kevin Na. Get on him. Victor, I just can't have Victor at the price. Clearly, he's one of the. He's probably playing the most consistent golf of anyone on the planet right now. But.
Yeah, by the odd hole or two, Barry.
Well, look, that was. He learned from that. You know, he made one mistake. Let's not. The fairway bunker shot, yeah, okay, whatever. You can miss hit stuff. It was the shot where he got himself back across the green into the bunker. That was his mistake. He got greedy. He should have played outsideways and he would have had a chance for a 6. And those two shots could have been very telling when he was chasing on Sunday. But, you know, there's the butterfly effect of him. Maybe being a bit more freed up or like going in full attack mode on Sunday and making all those birdies. So it's hard to tell, you know, but he's playing phenomenal golf at the moment. It's really, really good to watch. And like, I'm excited to see him in the Ryder Cup. Like he just goes for things and it's brilliant. I love it. You know, that's the kind of golf that's going to get you wins when you're just going for things. It's, you know, he just shrugs off the misses.
Yeah, no, he's going to be a great addition to the team.
Don't you think Morikawa and Hovland are basically the same player?
What?
They're just literally tee to green metronomic, aren't they? They're fantastic. Strokes gained ball striking, they've got to be in the top three on the tour. Victor Hovland's driving and approach play. Oh,
yeah, it's just around the greens, isn't it, for Hovland? That's where he lets himself down sometimes. And yeah, that's something he'll clearly be working on. He'll be well aware that that's one of his weaker parts of his game. And he gets that sorted out. He's going to be right up there for a number of years.
The one thing that put me off Hovland, I mean, if he'd have been 16-1, I'd probably have backed him. 12-1, I can't. 11-1, definitely can't. Boyles have got him at 10. Although Boyles, worthy of note, they are 10 places each way this week. The only bookmaker to go 10 places each way. So if you do want the extra places and lower odds, Boyle Sports is your place. The others, in the main, at 8 places. We've got this new revolution, haven't we, where, thankfully, I mean, I like it. The industry standard pretty much now is 8 places each way. 50 odds, but Boyles are 10. I've lost my train of thought. I just think if you'd have said to us at January, right, that Bryson DeChambeau and Victor Hovland are going to go off at the same odds for the Bay Hill Arnold Palmer, we'd have had a discussion about it, I'm sure. Because some people have said, well, Bryson's taking the game to a whole new level. Bryson's going to be world number one. He's hitting it 475 yards. He's going to destroy every golf course. Every golf course is going to be a par 66 for Bryson. But it hasn't kind of worked out that way, has it? All of a sudden, we've got Bryson and Victor at the same price. In fact, Victor's shorter with most firms than Bryson.
Bryson's struggling a little bit, it seems, with this weight loss. He spent so long building up his swing in tandem with the weight loss to do what his swing was doing when he was like super beefcake bulky. I always just think of Cartman in the South Park when he's like beefcake, if anyone remembers that reference. But this little drop in weight seems to have him a little bit out of kilter and sync. He'll figure it out because he always figures it out. He's that good at finding the solution. So yeah, I wonder if if just that clicks in the next few weeks for him.
It's got to affect his balance, isn't it?
A little bit of an adjustment factor, yeah.
Gary Woodland's lost a lot of weight as well recently, hasn't he?
Yeah, the one I'm thinking of, it was Cole Peterson, wasn't it, years ago? He lost
a
stack of weight.
Couldn't swing a club.
Couldn't swing a club, so he ended up just getting back on the donut diet. And he was back to where he was.
One thing you will say about DeChambeau, I mean, he shot 64, didn't he, in round two? It's this inconsistency.
Yeah,
best round of the day. Him and Morikawa, 64 was last Friday.
There's only one tournament that Bryson's targeting right now, and it's in a few weeks. Yeah. You know, and he's got...
What, the players?
Obviously, that's the biggest event of the year. Like, the way they're advertising it, you believe there's no other golf event allowed. He has an extra bone to pick with that course after all the hype he put into it last, in November, it not going so well. So, there's a singular focus there, I would say. And if it's about whether he can get his timing of getting all the things together for that.
Can you explain to me, why did he bulk up and now he's taking the bulk off?
That, I don't know. He needs to get some body nutritionist in. To me now, what it seems like is he had a lot of torque with the extra weight and speed. Now it's like he wants to take a bit of torque out for more horsepower, to put it into like a car analogy. So speed is clearly there, but there's something kind of not matching up for me just watching him with... it just doesn't feel like he's fully in sync. You know, he's getting these vicious snap hooks and these massive blocks, which we saw at Riviera. He'll figure it out, though. It's just about, tuning it in. He'll get it. He always does. Every time we question him, he figures out the problem that he's being faced with at the time. And it doesn't take him too long to do it either. He's a phenomenal golfer. He really is. It's probably just a matter of when.
I plumped. So what we got? We've got McIlroy 8s, Victor Hovland at 12s. These are prices right now as we record this early Tuesday morning. DeChambeau at 12s. Tyrrell Hatton, the defending champion, at 16s. Patrick Reed, your favourite Paul player, Paul. You'll still be on him at the Masters. 20-1 for Patrick Reed. Sung Jae-im, 20-1 effectively. There's one place Unibet hanging 22s out there. Matthew Fitzpatrick, 22s. And my nemesis, Paul Casey, with Hideki Matsuyama, a little bit of 28-1s on both out there. I've plumped for Matthew Fitzpatrick. And I know it'll bite me on the bum. I know that. But I don't know with Fitzpatrick. With me and Fitzpatrick, this guy is a class player. And as a non... You know, I follow the PGA Tour week in, week out, day in, day out. I don't pay as much attention to the European Tour as I probably should. Paul does that. That's what you get paid for, isn't it, Paul?
Just about.
If you can call this a salary. And what we got is his record on the European Tour is stellar. Probably doesn't win enough. But it's just where he plays well that gets me. And, you know, his Tiff Eagle Bermuda Grass record out in the desert, the Emirates, is fantastic.
Fifth,
16th and 17th at the Emirates Golf Club. And then you look at the Earth course. I mean, DP World Tour Championship. This isn't a hit and giggle. That's the best of the European Tour each year coming to that tournament. Long golf course, which again, long golf course, you probably think that's probably not Fitzpatrick. But fourth, first, ninth, and first last year. He won at 16-1, the DP World Tour Championship last year. And you look at Fitzpatrick's wins, they're all short. They're all these 16s, 14s, 20s longest. I just think Fitzpatrick will have in his mind, like all European Tour players do, I need to win in America to validate myself, to, you know, get a PGA Tour victory. Just like Tyrrell Hatton was in the same boat here last year. I know we're not getting 55s, but Fitzpatrick now seems to be focusing more on the PGA Tour right now. And he's getting better results. You know, he was right in the mix at Riviera. He was right in the mix last week and then fell back. If you actually look at his WGC finishes, that 11th last week was one of his best ever in his career. I'm surprised how long he's been around, actually, now. 2016 Masters came in the top 10.
Yeah.
So he's no rookie anymore, is he? Pardon?
He was only 14 years old then.
Well, he only looks 15 now.
You know.
I just think he's due. And this golf course, you look at Fitzpatrick and you look at places where he's done well on the PGA Tour in the last 12 months. He was third at Memorial, the one that Rahm won. Rahm was first. Our friend Ryan Palmer was second. And Fitzpatrick was, I think, tied for third, maybe with Matt Wallace, something like that. That was a nasty tournament win, blah, blah, blah. He also has got a great record at the WGC at the FedEx St. Jude, where he's had a fourth and a sixth in the last 2 years on Bermuda grass greens. And his record here again, his record on this golf course is stellar. Absolutely stellar. Second here a couple of years ago. I wasn't overly enamoured with the product. But, you know, I'd rather have a 25-1 winner than no winner. So, yeah, 25-1 on Matt. I need to become less of a price snob. You know, Brendan Grace last week, 20-1 winner. I'd snap your hand off. So if Fitzpatrick wins at 25-1, I'll snap your hand off. So Fitzpatrick was the first. And I know that this guy is going to be hideously well back this week, and quite rightly so. But the other one I took close to the top was Francesco Molinari. Victor Hovland is clearly going to be in the European Tour, the European team for the Ryder Cup. He's clearly one of the best players in the world right now. And he's going to be a strong addition to that team. But what that's doing is that's putting the likes of Garcia, Lowry, Molinari, Poulter, Rose, Stenson, Westwood under extreme pressure. Because there's 9 qualification spots automatically for the Ryder Cup team. There's only 3 captain's picks. A lot of those guys are going to be relying on captain pick unless they seriously pick their games up. And Molinari is just showing that forward momentum. I actually checked his world ranking. He's now actually growing his world ranking at the moment after, 18 months of just slump?
Yeah, he's certainly been improving again recently, hasn't he?
Eighth at PGA West. 10th at Torrey Pines, and 8th last time out at his new home club at Riviera Country Club in Los Angeles. And he's just doing what he does. Hitting the ball relatively straight off the tee. He's not the longest. Great iron game. And the putter works sometimes and the putter doesn't work. But the putter seemingly is getting more consistent. And you look at Frankie Molinari and you look at American states, the state that he's done by far the best in is Florida. And he's won here in 2019. So I thought 33-1, more than backable. That's... especially when you look at that 44-1 average winning price over the last 5 years here.
It's a nice price.
I want to focus on this juicy 33s up to 50-1 price point.
You're already in profit with the price for the week, Steve, so you can be happy with it because he's gone shorter than that. I followed you on him. I think he's good. A good bet this week, so
he's a good week. I think he's a good bet next week as well, Barry.
Yeah, could be.
What could we get next week?
Could you get 50s if he doesn't do it this week? If he doesn't go well this
week?
Well,
I think you might get a snitch more.
That would be lovely. Look, I mean, I'd happily take him at the... let's just take the win at 35 this week and worry about this week and next week can save for next week's problems. But if he doesn't go this week, he's certainly one to, I think, keep in mind. He's starting to hit the ball the way nice, you know, Frankie can hit the ball. So it's a lovely bet. Nothing further to add. Moving forward.
Right, that's two of my five. Who, what, you've clearly highlighted Frankie as well there. What about you, Paul?
Well, do you know, at this point in time, I've only backed one, but he's in that bracket. And that's Jason Day, 33-1. And it's not a normal bet for me, I must say. But
I was going to say. I'm in shock.
Yeah, it's risky because you never really quite know what you're going to get with Jason Day. But I'm seeing these should be elite players starting to show their hands again. The Brooks Koepkas and the Jordan Spieths. And I look down the list, and Jason Day's there. He's won here. He won back in 2016. He was world number three at the time, I think, and he just before he got to world number one a couple of weeks later. He's now down to 46, I think he is. So it shows you how far he's drifted down. But I think there's some good signs that he's starting to come back. Seventh at Pebble, flat final round, but he had a good chance going into the back nine. 18th last week at Concession as well. Crucially for him, great gaining strokes both from off the tee and also tee to green on both of those starts, which is encouraging. Got a great record in Florida, can play firm courses. You mentioned there's some wind coming towards the weekend as well, which...
Sunday, yeah. 30 mile an hour it could be.
Yeah.
And, that does scream Jason Day, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, as it gets tougher, that's the kind of situation that a player like Jason Day could thrive in. So yeah, I don't know. It seemed a backable price to me for a player who could go and win this golf tournament. So yeah, I'll back Day. There's a few that I'm... Do you know, the name that kept cropping up in my analysis was Emiliano Grillo.
Didn't he do the typical Griot thing at 16-1 shot last week?
Yeah, well, he finished 11.
Throws it away in round one. In fact, throws it away in the first three holes, and then he backdoors the top 10. I just knew it. Absolutely knew it. The Griot would do that.
I haven't backed.
But yeah, if you want a golfer that can drive the golf ball long and straight, Griot is your man. He's a very good course fit for this. Griot has to be said.
Makes sense, you know, his game shape fits it perfectly. I mean, he finished seventh here in 2018. He was disqualified last year, but he was sitting in the top 20 at the time. Good wind player as well. I was surprised when looking through your wind analysis just how good he is.
Great.
But I'd need to find a market for him because I'd always had this kind of trepidation about backing him outright because we know how that goes. Perhaps it's just a DK play. Perhaps it's it's one for a DraftKings team, 7,400, and just be done with it.
You're not a top 10 backer, are you? Or top 20 backer? 5-2 doesn't interest you, does it?
No. Perhaps there's a market.
How much would you need to put on Grillo 5-2 to make yourself satisfied with the return? And then you got to think, I'm putting that much money on Grillo.
he's very counterintuitive. It has to be said. Yeah.
It's just it doesn't make sense. It doesn't work there. Those two things don't merge together.
Stick with DraftKings.
I mean, on a similar vein, Benny Ann's got some areas this week as well, and he's been working with Brad Faxon for a while, hasn't he? He's putting, and I suspect at some point that will come round.
Bear fruit.
It will bear some fruit. But again, it's still working. That kind of 80-100, 125-1 price point. Ricky Fowler's sitting in there at 80-1.
Wow.
And I look at that and I think, well,
if you're going down this route of high ceiling, which is that played dividends with Koepka, didn't it? I agree. Jason Day at 33 shines like a beacon, and Ricky Fowler at that price shines like a beacon, doesn't he? 66 is generally.
Yeah, a little bit of 80s at it. And, again, if it's going to get
windy... He putted really well last time, really.
There's been some positive signs in his game. I'm not saying he's back to his best, because I don't think he is. But you put him on a tough course and you put him in a windy weekend, and if he's in the vicinity, then that final day... if he's three shots clear going into the final day, he probably doesn't win. If he's five shots back and it's windy and He can potentially get into position.
Should we ask the Ricky Whisperer?
Yeah, you on Ricky, Barry?
I am not on Ricky. No.
Wow. But you're not feeling it for Ricky.
Because
that is the first time for quite a while that he's a very, very backable price.
It is.
70-1 with Bet365. 8 places right now.
I've seen green shoots as well, Paul. You're not you don't have the Ricky tinted glasses on at the moment. It's like it's genuinely happening. You're seeing little bits of things come together. Like the work he's doing is paying off. There's some good results without being flashy. So yeah. Maybe it's a steady build process, and that's the worst for backing him, because the bookies will see that as well. And his price will just keep getting chopped week after week. But, you know, he's coming into like the time of the year where he won the Players. So, you know, they might get a little good vibe boost from that. It's tempting. It doesn't feel ripe right now. If he wins, great. Like, I mean, at this stage, I don't even know where I stand in terms of financials with Ricky, but it's probably not in the plus column. There's green shoots there though, so maybe keep an eye. I don't know. Hard to say. Let's move on. Somebody I did back in that price range was Kevin Kisner. Now, look, I know Kiz is like on my auto bets and got a little bit excited just seeing him up at the leaderboard there last week after Friday, and he fell away on the weekend. But maybe the length of that course, I don't know. Something didn't go right for him anyway. So he's a phenomenal putter, and he has a decent record around.
Around
here.
Second here, the year Leishman won. In fact, didn't Kisner gag it?
He's got not that decent a record. He's got a second and a 23rd are his best ones, but like, you know, binary kind of results really. So there's enough going on there in this game that like, if this is playing as tough as it has been recently, he's that kind of grinder that can jump in on that kind of scoring level. So yeah, 66-1, 8 places. Thanks very much. Let's see what happens. Like, if he wins, great. I mean, it's not the end of the world because I'm a big kind of fan of his style of golf, because it's kind of contrary to, you know, he's short hitter and he's just a bit of a grinder, so it's contrary to like just the bash and smash kind of week in week out of the PGA Tour.
We're an hour and 7 minutes into this podcast, so we need to start wrapping up.
I can do mine quickly.
Go on in.
I'm following Louis again this week, putting great, you know, obviously swinging it pretty well, scoring well, so 35-1. Thanks very much. I feel like that kind of style of golfer this week, like not too, maybe it's a height thing. So all my golfers are kind of small this week. So you have Kisner, Louis, Frankie, all kind of small golfers. I don't know what's the theme, where that came from, but that this is where.
Hadn't sure. He won last year.
This is where we found ourselves. Yeah.
It's all very logical.
Yeah, exactly.
What about Kevin Na? Are you on him?
No.
He was on my shortlist.
I don't know. The last few weeks, I've been kind of... I got too bogged down in stats, so I started just going with a bit more of my gut feeling on golfers and seeing if there's metrics to kind of back up what I'm kind of feeling. But I'm not spending too much time thinking on it. I'm trying to just go with my reactions, because I watch enough that I'm going to trust what I'm seeing, and if there's a little bit of data in behind that, even better. Happy days.
I have also added to my card Sam Burns, who on first show there was a 60-1 out there, which got absolutely annihilated in 3 seconds. I managed to get him at 45-1. I've just got here a short list of players that have been playing well recently, and we pulled this together off mic before the show. Best players in the world so far this year in 2021. Hovland, Finau, Casey, Morikawa, Reed and Koepka. That was the six we came up with. If you actually look at Sam Burns and the way he's been playing, I know not the finishes, but where he's been on leaderboards across Torrey Pines, across TPC Scottsdale and, of course, last time out of Riviera. He's playing some of the best golf on the planet right now. He reminds me of Matt Every back in 2014, I think it was, if there's going to be an obvious winner, a hot hand, and I've always had Burns down for Florida because he's so Bermuda grass positive, had to go with Sam Burns. The other one is, course form here is really important with previous winners. Jason Kokrag has got sneaky, sneaky good form, both on really classical, tough tests in the United States and here at Bay Hill, because they go together. Coming off a ninth last week at WGC, he's up to 31st in the world, Jason Kokrag. And he continues not only to strike the SHIT out of the ball, but his putting's been so much better this season. It's unbelievable. I think Jason Kokrag. I actually saw a 55-1 on first show. That got snapped up, demolished. So I managed to get him, I think, was it 40-1, Paul? 45 on Kokrag. So my medium prices are Fitzpatrick, Frankie, Burns, Kokrag, and I threw Wyndham Clark in there at a 125-1. Clark, I think he's a talented sort. Has played extremely well when he's gone to PGA National, very close course to this, a par 70, a tough one. He led there after 54 holes a few years ago. And he's coming off another top 10 at Riviera. I think that will have boosted Clark's confidence. There was a back spasm issue, which he seemed to play through. He's in the field this week. So don't shoot me if he turns up on hunching around like a hunchy thing. But yes, I think Clark, 125-1, he's the sort that could get into this. The other thing with Clark was I remember him being really seriously in the mix at that 3M Open they played on the Palmer course up in Minnesota, TPC Twin Cities. So I think he likes the look of a Palmer golf course. So those were my five. Any more for you, Paul, before we sign off?
No, only Matt Every, first round leader. 200-1 out there at the moment.
The only other player, first round leader, and also I was close to tipping him, is Chuck Hoffman. Charlie Hoffman's playing some really good stuff at the moment, and his record here is phenomenal.
Yeah, he likes the course, doesn't he? He's another one who likes to pop up first round leader, doesn't he? But yeah, every 175-1 last year, 200-1 out there just at the moment as well. If there's a track that is going to oblige on, this is the one. So no brainer really for me.
Charlie Hoffman, first round leader, 66 is readily available. I don't think that's a bad bet because Hoffman is playing some really good stuff.
This is a week, just like a final kind of thought on it, that the shorter guys on tour, even though the course is really long, it doesn't play.
No.
It doesn't reward the bombers as much. So it's a bit more of a level playing field. So this is one of those weeks on tour where the guys who don't smash it are thinking, yeah, I can be much more competitive this week versus
one of those regular weeks. Yeah. Huge opportunity for the shorter sorts this week. And as we said, Kevin Narkines. Gnar's now the kind of guy that goes to a par 70, a short one, like a Wailea, a Colonial, and can get the job done. Again, another shorty, or a player of normal length off the tee, can easily win this week.
I had a couple of triple digits or digit bets as well, just little ones. Quick snap bets.
Sign off.
Yeah, just, and it was just because of the where they showed up in the in your putting stats, Steve, your strokes gained putting recent ranking. So I've got Adam Hadwin and Matt Jones.
Oh, yeah. Jones has been playing some nice stuff, hasn't he?
Yeah. Easily forgotten because, he played really well at Riviera, wasn't it? If I'm correct on that.
I think he's at Pebble Beach. He did okay. I think it's all just regularly chipping in top 20s, isn't he?
And the good thing is he got a rest weekend. He played 6 weeks in a row. So, I mean, I think you do probably need a break at that stage. Look, whatever, 100-1. Cheers. Let's see what happens. those ones are fun to have, you know, especially if one of them sneaks in a backdoor just to grab the place. Like, you're not expecting the win, but if they grab the place, it's a nice little bit of money returned.
Happy days.
Mm. His only win was Redstone, Houston Open. That's another par 72. Lots of water involved. So, yeah, fits.
Bucket.
That's us, I think, guys. Thanks for your time. I know it was an early one. I've counted through two big mugs of tea during this record. So
did you
I thoroughly enjoyed myself.
Without any noise.
I thoroughly enjoyed myself. Oh, well, I pre-prepared them, clearly. Good luck with your tips.
Yeah, best luck, guys.
Good luck with your selections, guys.
Good luck to the listeners.
Good luck to the listeners. Thanks for your support. Keep those 5-star reviews coming. And we will be back next week for one of the highlights of every golfing year. We've got the Players' Championship from TPC Sawgrass and the European Tour bizarrely returns with the Qatar... Help me out, Paul.
Yeah, Qatar Masters.
Qatar Masters.
Education C. Yeah, looking forward to it.
Excellent. Thank you for your time, gentlemen. Thanks for the listeners. We'll be back again next week. Goodbye.